In it. If you go back and you look at Colossians chapter 3, it starts out with telling you to keep seeking the things that are above, set your mind on the things that are above, and it says to consider your members as dead to immorality, impurity, and it just goes on and on saying put aside anger, wrath, do not lie, you know, all these instructions. Well, then we come to this further instruction. And I was thinking as I read this, maybe Paul decided to go on a little bit more because he knew we couldn't do any of that other stuff that he had told the Colossians to do without prayer. And so he says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. So there's three parts of this verse that I want to talk about this morning. There's the devote yourself to prayer, then with an alert mind, and then number three is with a thankful heart. So let's look at the first thing, devote yourself to prayer. Now, if you look up a definition of devote, it says give all or a large part of one's time or resources to a person, activity, or cause. So to devote ourselves to prayer would mean that we give a large part of our time and ourselves, our attention to prayer. That's what it would mean to devote ourselves to prayer. And so we all know in here that devotion to prayer doesn't just happen, right? How many of you just naturally devote a huge amount of time to prayer? It doesn't just happen. Devote is a verb. It's something that we do. It's something that we have to make a conscious effort to do. And we do it because Scripture commands us to. He tells us right here, devote yourself to prayer. It's not necessarily something that we want to do. How many of you always want to pray? How many of you on Sunday morning when we go to the pastoral prayer are like, yes, I couldn't wait for this part? That's how we ought to be, though, if we really understood prayer, you know? But the truth is, we're not. Sometimes we look at prayer and we're like, oh, no, not again. And we're thinking, if I can just get through this part of the service, then we can go on to something else that's more interesting. But we need to pray. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. But it takes effort, it takes discipline, and it takes faith to do that. So I know all of us have heard a lot of sermons on prayer. Honestly, my thoughts this week were, it's probably a waste of time. And I'm just being honest. As I started thinking about this week, I was at the beach all week, and I would walk up and down the beach. I would sit on the beach. I would sit on the porch. I would sit in the house. Everything I did, I was thinking about, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say this week? What are you saying to me? And what are you saying to Three Point? And I looked at where Paul was in Colossians, and I read this verse, and I thought, we've been here before. We've done this before. Devote yourselves to prayer. And is it just a waste of time to say it one more time? Guys, we need to pray. We need to pray. But I kept asking myself, okay, how do we devote ourselves to prayer? What does it look like? What does it take to devote ourselves to prayer? And I thought of a few things. It takes conviction that it's important. If we don't believe that prayer is important, we won't pray. It takes belief that it matters. If we don't believe that it makes a difference, then we're not going to pray. And it takes just plain obedience. If we don't care that God told us to devote ourselves to prayer, and if we aren't interested in doing everything that He commands us to do, then we're not going to pray. I've already preached one sermon this morning to my Sunday school class. I can tell you, I walked back in the office. I said, well, Paul, I've already preached this morning, so I might as well go home. And they were probably looking at me like, what? But I just got off on this tangent of, you know, guys, we can say, we were talking about why don't we do what Scripture tells us to do? And someone in the class, I won't mention any names, said, because we're lazy and stubborn. And you know, they were right. They were right. But then I just went off on this tangent. I said, but why? Do we not care? Do we not believe that one day we're going to stand before an almighty God and have to give account of our lives? Does that not bother us? Does that not make a difference? I said, so what can we do instead of just saying I'm lazy and stubborn? What can we do to make a difference? And I said, let's start today to decide I'm going to be different. By God's help, I'm going to be different. And if we don't have the desire, if we don't have the will, God knows we don't have the power to change, then we need to be on our knees asking for it. Steve and I listened to a book in the car driving to and from the beach called Jesus in Me by Ann Graham Lotz this week. It was on the Holy Spirit. Anyway, she was just talking about how, you know, Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the exact representation of Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us that is a believer. We have the Holy Spirit, who is the exact representation of Jesus. We have Jesus in us. We have all of the power that Jesus had available to him to live a righteous life on this earth. We have it all in us. So we need to be asking, Holy Spirit, help me, teach me, counsel me, encourage me. Because we all have the same Holy Spirit. It's like I told my Sunday school class this morning, I'm not special. I have nothing that anybody in here doesn't have. We all have the same Holy Spirit. And so let's don't leave this place this morning hearing a sermon on devoting ourselves to prayer and then say, that's a good thing, I should do it, but I probably won't. Let's decide before we leave, I'm going to do that. By God's help and by the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to devote myself to prayer. Because guys, if we don't devote ourselves to prayer, and I know I'm getting off on everything I was planning to say this morning, but I want you to look around at Three Point Bible Church. Do you see any teenagers? Do you see any young people? A few. But most of us are old. And if we don't devote ourselves to prayer for this church, before we know it, will not exist. And I'm just telling the truth. And so I know we don't have any power here in our own. We don't have, I mean, Paul and I can tell you for 15 years, at least, we've been praying. We've been asking. But y'all, we've all got to be praying. We've all got to be devoting ourselves to seeking the Father and saying, we know it's not your will for this church to just disappear. So help us. So we all need to devote ourselves to prayer. Where do we get that conviction that it's important, that belief that it matters, that ability to just obey because God said so? We get it from the Word of God. We get it as we study in the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, as we meditate on the Word of God, our faith grows. And so I'm going to challenge you again. Be in a Bible study. Be in a Sunday school class if you're not. Be in the Word of God. Be using YouVersion on your iPad or your phone. Be constantly exposed to the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us that's how our faith grows. It's because we read the Word of God, and I don't understand it, but as we read all the things that God has done in the past, we get faith to believe that God can do it here and He can do it now. I was, again, sharing with my Sunday school class this morning that James 5:17 says that Elijah was a man, or a human being, if you don't like it being a man, but he was a person just like we are. So none of us in this room can say, but I can't. I don't have what Elijah had. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. It's all hogwash. As I told my grandson the other day when he said something to me, I said, that's just hogwash. Because the Bible says that Elijah was a man just like us, just like you and you and you, just like me. And he prayed for 3.5 years. He prayed that it would not rain earnestly for 3.5 years. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he earnestly prayed that it would rain, and it rained. And God is saying that if you and I would devote ourselves to prayer, we could have results just like that, just as powerful as that. Elijah ain't got nothing on you, the Bible says, except that he prayed. He prayed. It takes prayer and seeing God answer prayer. Another thing that builds that faith in prayer, that desire to pray, is to be praying and see God answer prayers. And I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like I pray for nothing. And I don't see a lot of the kind of answered prayers that I want. But God gives me just enough that he keeps me praying. It's like Nikki Gumbel says in Alpha Program. He says, you know, some people might call it coincidences, but the thing is, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't. So we pray and we pray and we see answers, and that encourages us to pray more. And the Holy Spirit in us, as I mentioned before, is the one that gives us the unction, the power, the desire to pray. And if we don't have it, we can pray, Holy Spirit in me, give me that desire to pray. Even if we don't want it, we can at least ask for it, and he'll give it to us. Because sometimes we don't want a desire that we don't want, right? That we don't have. So we even have to ask for the desire to have the desire. But I believe that God wants us to pray, and he wants that fellowship and that communion so badly with us that if we'll just ask for the desire, to have the desire, he'll give us that. So to devote ourselves to prayer means that prayer is a way of life for us. It doesn't just mean that we decide, okay, every morning when I get up, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. That's not devotion to prayer. That's devotion to a short time of prayer in the morning, which is good. But that's not devotion to prayer as a way of life. To devote ourselves to prayer means that prayer is a way of life. It means that we pray in our closets, but it also means that we pray in the church with our brothers and sisters. It means that we pray from a heart full of emotion, but it also means that we pray from a list of people we may or may not feel anything at all for. It means that we pray when we're desperate, but it means we pray when we're content. It means that we pray spontaneously, but it also means that we have scheduled times of prayer. If you look at Daniel, one of the greatest men that ever lived, he had 3 times a day of prayer that he just went and he knelt and he prayed. It was a schedule. But it was effective for Daniel. So don't ever knock a scheduled time of prayer and say, well, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it feels like. The fact is that we're praying. So you get the point. A life devoted to prayer is devoted not really to prayer itself, but to the one to whom we are praying, because we really believe that he is the source of everything. So we pray about everything, whether we feel like it or not. You know, we live in such a feeling culture that this sounds foreign, but the Bible gives us example after example of the early church. If you look just a few things in the book of Acts at how they were devoted to prayer. There was a culture of prayer. In Acts 1:14, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus, constantly united in prayer. Acts 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Acts 4:24, when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. And after this prayer, Acts 4:31, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Acts 6:4, then the apostles, if other people would serve the tables, can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Acts 12:12, when he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. Acts 13:3, so after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church with prayer and fasting. They turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And it goes on and on and on like that. One verse after another just speaks of the culture of prayer that surrounded the early church. They were devoted to prayer. And anyone, as I said before, can devote themselves to prayer. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, whether you are educated or not, it does not matter. We can all devote ourselves to prayer. My mother, y'all have heard me talk about her before, she's 91 years old. And when my daddy died, she didn't have anything to do because she'd been taking care of him nonstop for the last few years. And she felt like the Lord told her to go to the church and pray. So she went to her church on Tuesday morning. Every Tuesday morning, she just went out of obedience to the Lord and prayed for an hour. Well, now that church has a prayer group that meets every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. And when I look on my Find My Friends app to make sure my mama got up and went to it, she's there. She's there. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. None of that matters. All that matters is, are you willing to devote yourself to a life of prayer? Do you know that it matters? It's the most important thing that we can do. It is the most important thing that we can do. So the question for us this morning, and it's a real question because like I told my Sunday school class, what good is it for me to stand up here and say this if we aren't changed? If we don't make a decision that's going to affect eternity, that's going to affect this church? Because to be honest with you, I don't care whether I'm up here or not. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that we need to get serious about this and pray. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just want to see revival. I just want to see us move. I want to see God move us. I want to see God do things. And I believe in a God who wants to send revival on this place right here. And I don't know why he hadn't. But I keep praying and asking. You know, it's like the Bible, the story that Jesus told about the guy who had friends visit him late at night and he didn't have anything to get him. So he goes to his friend's house and he knocks on the door. And the guy, he said, I need you to give me some bread for these people. I don't have anything to give them. And the guy says, well, go away. I'm in bed. My children in bed. Go away. And he keeps knocking and knocking and knocking until finally the guy gets up and he gives him what he needs. And Jesus says, he didn't get up and give it to him because he was his friend. He got up and gave it to him because he wouldn't leave him alone. And we need to be that way with God. We need to not leave him alone day and night. Because he has promised, he himself has promised, if you will keep asking, if you will keep praying, if you will not give me a moment's rest, then I will answer you. And I want him to see 3-point that way. I want him to see that we are people who said, God, we will not stop asking for revival in this place and in this town until you give it. Do y'all believe that he will give it if we do that? A second thing we need to do is we need to pray with an alert mind. And this can be a challenge. I confess, on Sunday mornings when Paul's praying the prayer, I have to discipline my mind, and it's almost like you are grabbing it to come back, to pay attention to what's being said, to pay attention to the one that he is saying it to, and to pay attention that I am offering that person or that prayer up along with him. That's what it means to be alert in prayer. It means to have your full mind and your full attention on what you're saying and what you're praying or whatever anyone else is praying. And it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody. So don't say, well, you know, I've got ADD or I've got ADHD. Because we all struggle in prayer. We all struggle in prayer. It's a decision that we make, a discipline that we practice. Jesus told his disciples in the garden to watch and pray that they not enter into temptation, because the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Our spirit may be willing to be devoted to prayer, but our flesh is weak, and our enemy does not want us to pray. So we need to be alert when we devote ourselves to pray, alert to our own weaknesses, alert to the enemy's tactics, and alert to the pull of the world around us away from our devotion. If you decide this morning, I'm going to devote myself to prayer, you know, just for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to devote myself to prayer. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to have times of prayer that are scheduled, and I'm just going to pray. I'm going to come to the church. I'm going to pray. I'm going to come to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to devote myself to prayer. I can guarantee you that there will be so many things pop up trying to stop you from doing that. So we have to be alert and say, you know what? That's a tactic of the enemy. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Because for some reason, he don't want me in there. He didn't want me in that prayer closet. Because he knows when I get there, God's going to bless me. God's going to do something. And thirdly, we need to pray with a thankful heart. The Bible, and therefore God, is very concerned with thanksgiving. It is very important to God that we have thankful hearts. And this is something that just the last few years has just been pounded into my head and my heart, how important it is to be thankful. God says in Psalm 50:23, he says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. God has just told him in the earlier part of that psalm, you know, I don't want to talk about your sacrifices. I don't need another bull. The cattle on a thousand hills is mine. He says, what I want you to do is give me thanks. I want you to acknowledge me. I want you to acknowledge that I am the giver of every good and perfect gift. I am the giver of everything that you have. I am the blesser. Every blessing you have comes from me. Every time you drive down the road and you're not in a car wreck, that's me. I am watching over you. I stepped off of the stairs coming out of the house this week and could have totally missed the last stair. And I just fell right on my foot. But I fell on my foot. I didn't lose my balance, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I believe his angels were watching over me at that point, because there was no reason for me not to just totally wipe out and break every bone in my body. I believe that he, as we give thanks to him, as we live a thankful life, he is honoring us as we are honoring him. So why do you think God is so concerned with us having thankful hearts? Because thankfulness is the fruit of a heart that knows and acknowledges that everything they have and are is all because of Jesus. Everything that we have and that we are is all because of Jesus. All because. And anything else that we think, it's arrogance, it's pride. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, what is it that you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, then why therefore do you boast as if it were not a gift? What is it in our lives that we have? What gift, what talent, what money, what power, what ability do we have that we boast about? Nothing. Everything we have, we got from God. And some people would say, well, you know what? I get up off my butt and I go to work and I've worked hard for everything I have. Well, you know what? God gave you the power to do that. That's what he told him in Deuteronomy. He said, even the power to make wealth comes from me. So we need to give him thanks because it all comes from him. This past week, I was at the beach, and my whole family was there, and that means 32 of us, except for my mother. And in recent years, anytime Steve and I have been away from church on Sunday morning, we have a time of worship wherever we are with whoever wants to join us. And I was kind of resisting doing this because we were in four different houses, and it just sounded like pain. And I thought, nobody probably wants to do it anyway. You know, y'all ever feel that way? It's like, you know, it doesn't matter. Does it matter? I mean, God doesn't care. It's Sunday morning, I'm at the beach. I love him. It's okay. And I just kept going back and forth. I remembered something that my pastor from years ago told me, that his grandfather told him about going to church. And he said, my grandfather said to me one time when I was saying, why do you need to go to church? And he said, well, I just think you ought to go and show whose side you're on. And God has used that little saying in my life a lot. You know, you ought to at least just show whose side you're on, Sandra. And so I said, okay. So I sent everybody in my family a text that morning. I said, we're having church at our house at 10:30 for anybody that wants to come. I didn't really think everybody would come, but you know what? Everybody came. Except I looked around and I said, we almost got more people than we got at Three Point on Sunday morning. Paul didn't think that was funny. But.
Well, until the quarter after.
Yeah, he informed me that he had way more than, I think we wound up with 27 or 28 because there was a couple of kids and their caretakers that didn't come. But anyway, he informed me that y'all had more than 28 last Sunday when by the time. After a quarter, yeah, anyway, I was joking. But I say this because it's a way of being thankful. Just acknowledging, you know, being thankful to God is just acknowledging God for who he is in front of everybody that you have an opportunity to acknowledge. It was an opportunity for Steve and me to say thank you to God in front of our daughter. She came to church, the one that hasn't been to church in years, with her son, who only comes to church when he's here with us. They sat there, they sang the songs, because she knows them all. And it was just an opportunity to say thank you, God, for who you are, and to acknowledge you and to let everyone around you see that you acknowledge the God of creation because he's worthy. And so every time we pray, every time we do anything, we are to acknowledge him, to give him thanks because it all comes from him. You know, that's why we say the blessing before meals. You know, I know a lot of people think that's rote, that it doesn't mean anything. My children don't do it. Well, I don't know about one of them, but I know one of them doesn't do it. They just eat. And I know they probably think that, well, that's dumb. That's dumb for you to say the blessing because it doesn't mean anything. Well, let me tell you, it means something. Okay, I might not always get warm and fuzzy when we say the blessing, but what I'm doing is I am acknowledging that this food that I have, and thus everything that I have comes from somewhere else. It comes from God. And if it's just to remind myself And I'm not saying that I say a blessing over every morsel that goes in my mouth when I'm standing in the kitchen eating a Pop-Tart. You know, it's like, God, I know I shouldn't be eating this, but it sure is good. But every chance we get, we ought to acknowledge and give thanks to the one who's given us everything. So when we pray with thanksgiving. And being thankful honors God. It honors God. And the Bible says to us in 1 Samuel 2:30, it says, those who honor me, I will honor. You want God to honor you? Then start acknowledging and honor him. You want God to answer your prayers? Then start praying with thankfulness because of who he is and honoring him. So this morning, I want us to spend just a few minutes, if you will. I'm just going to challenge you to make a commitment this morning. Don't leave here this morning and say, well, you know, that was nice. As Paul always says, that was nice. Or maybe it wasn't nice. Maybe you feel like I beat you up. I don't know, you know. As he said one time that he doesn't remember, Sandra just walked over me, all over me with red high heel shoes on. But instead of all that, let's say, God, how can I live a life devoted to prayer? What do I need to do? You know, maybe God is speaking to you this morning. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you think about yourself, your ability or anything, maybe God is speaking to you this morning and he's saying, you know what? I want you to come up to the church for 30 minutes on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock and pray for 30 minutes. You know, I don't know, but I'm just saying, let's decide this morning that we are going to be a church that devotes itself to prayer. And so I ask you, I invite you, I challenge you, I encourage you, I beg you to come to the altar this morning and just spend a minute, or in your seat, spend a minute and say, God, do something in me. Make me a prayer. Whatever you need, whatever your need is, ask him for it. He will do it because I pray. So let's pray.